Nobody in life, as far as I know, enjoys the feeling of being lost or arriving at a location and realizing it's the wrong destination. I don't think anybody gets excited about that as you get lost, as you're maybe going to work, or maybe you get on a train or an airplane and you end up at the wrong destination. We don't get excited, and that doesn't really cause happiness within our hearts. Nobody really enjoys that feeling of being lost. But that's exactly what happened to the passengers on a British Airways flight on March 25th, 2019, earlier this year. They had departed from London, England, and they were headed east to Dusseldorf, Germany, but instead they ended up landing 525 miles away from that destination in the city of Edinburgh, Scotland. What was supposed to be a one-hour flight became a six-hour detour. Could you imagine just the feeling going through those passengers? They went on that flight, they flew for about an hour, and they landed, they touched down, and over the intercom, they hear the voice of the pilot, and he says, welcome now to Edinburgh, Scotland. And they're probably looking down at their tickets and wondering, wait a minute, did I make a mistake? I mean, who messed up here? I thought I was going over to Germany. But that's what happened here just a few months ago, and they landed in Edinburgh, Scotland. They did some investigations, and the problem all began when an incorrect flight plan or a flight navigation was filed by the flight dispatcher. And although it is rare to hear of an airplane getting lost or arriving at a wrong destination, the fact of the matter is here this morning that human navigation and human plans are always susceptible to error. And it doesn't matter this morning how many checklists you have. It doesn't matter this morning what types of protocols you might have in place. Nobody is perfect, and no person is devoid of mistakes. But thank God here this morning that God's navigation and God's guidance is always perfect. You know, God never gets lost. God never comes to a situation and he has to recalculate the route that he's taking. God never guides us to the wrong destination. God is always perfect. In Psalms chapter 18, verse number 30, the Bible reads there, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." And you see, the perfect God of the Bible, who makes no mistakes, the perfect God of the Bible, who is without error, desires to guide and lead our lives in the way that we ought to go. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting for me. I thank God for that wonderful truth that the God of heaven, who is perfect, without error, that cannot lie, who is omnipotent, omniscient, he desires within his heart to guide my life. He desires within his heart to lead my life here on this earth. The Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And God today is mindful of your life. And God this morning is mindful of my life. And he desires to instruct us. He desires to teach us. And he desires to direct us as we navigate throughout this world. He wants to guide us in our marriage. He wants to lead us as we're trying to raise up our children for the Lord. He wants to guide us in our careers. He wants to guide us as we face the trials of this life, as we face the confusion of the life and the trials and the difficulties that we face. It is God's heart's desire that he wants to guide you through those seasons. God wants to guide us in our singlehood. He wants to guide us in our midlife. He wants to guide us in our retirement. And he wants to guide us as we face decisions concerning our finances, our future, and our faith. And thank God when it comes to the complexity of this journey called life. And I don't know about you, and I haven't lived a long life, but at the amount that I've lived so far, I realize that life isn't always easy. And life isn't always simple to figure out. There's some confusing seasons, but thank God throughout the complexity of this journey called life, we have a guide, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most densely populated and busiest cities I've ever been to is the city of Mexico City. I wonder this morning, how many of you have been to Mexico City, right? You land down at the Benito Juarez airport there, international airport, and as soon as you get out of there, it's just, there's people all over the place. And there's cars all over the place. It's densely populated. Mexico City and its metropolitan area has a population of over 21 million people. And for myself, not being familiar with that city, there's no way that I'd be able to navigate through those streets. I would be lost in a matter of seconds. But I thank God every single time that I've traveled and had the joy of visiting Mexico City, I've had a missionary friend. And he would come and he would be my guide, and he would guide me to the churches where I would preach. And then he would guide me to the sites that I would tour. And then he would guide me away from certain areas that were maybe dangerous and unsafe. And then he would always guide me to this one restaurant, which I believe has the best tacos throughout the country of Mexico. I know the title of that restaurant. It is El Lago de los Cisnes. That means the Lake of the Swans. And whenever he goes down that direction, I get kind of excited for the cheese there and the tacos and the El Pastor. And he always guides me there. There's no way I could find that place, but I thank God whenever I land in Mexico City, I have a missionary friend who acts as my guide. I would be utterly lost without him as my guide. And likewise here this morning, we must realize that all of us will be utterly lost in this life and in this world without a guide. And therefore, all of us this morning desperately need the guidance of Almighty God. And I want to share with you here this morning several thoughts on how we can have the guidance of God as we navigate through this life. And so first of all, as we look at Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 5, we must first depend on the Lord. It begins with dependence on the Lord. And as we depend on the Lord, it begins with trusting in His character. We must trust in the character of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says there, trust in the Lord. It doesn't speak about trusting a proposition or trusting some type of plan or strategy, but it speaks about here trusting a person, trust in the character of God, trust in the Lord. And our trust and dependence upon the Lord begins and grows as we develop a relationship with the Lord and we grow in understanding the character of God. And this relationship with the Lord begins at salvation. It begins with accepting Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior, for the Bible teaches us that we are separated from the Lord. Because of our sins, we are separated from the Lord. But the Bible teaches us the good news that Jesus is the one that can forgive our sins, and He is the one that can bring us into reconciliation and to bring us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And what a wonderful truth. The Bible says we were separated from the Lord because of our sins. And because of those sins, there was a penalty and a judgment, eternity in a place called hell. But now it's through Jesus Christ. He became the bridge. He's the one that brought us reconciliation. It's through His death and His burial and His resurrection and the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we who were far off from the Lord, now we can be brought nigh into a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And you see, that relationship does not begin when you go to church. That relationship does not begin when we start doing some good works. That relationship doesn't begin when we start reading the Bible or helping out others throughout our neighborhood. That relationship can only begin when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior within our lives. And the Bible teaches when we receive Christ, we come into a familial relationship with the Lord. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power. To them gave He authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so it is at the moment that one places their faith in Jesus and receives Him as their Savior that they begin a relationship with the Lord. And then it is as we grow in that relationship by spending time with the Lord in the Word of God and through prayer that we will grow in our knowledge and understanding of the character of God. As we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time in God's house, as we spend time in prayer before the Lord, we grow in our knowledge of His love. We grow in our knowledge of his goodness. We grow in our knowledge of his mercy and his grace. We grow in our understanding of his power and his omniscience. We grow in our understanding of his holiness and his perfection. And as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord, we begin to trust him more because now we begin to know him more intimately concerning the character of God. And you see here this morning, the truth is, if I can be very transparent here this morning, the truth is the reason why some of us have a hard time trusting the Lord. The reason why some of us go through the scriptures and we read the commandments of God and we read the promises of God, but then we have such a difficult time trusting the Lord. The reason why is because we do not know the Lord. We might know some things about the Lord, but we do not intimately know the Lord and the character of God because we do not spend time in God's word. We do not spend time in prayer, and therefore our relationship with the Lord is not growing. And if we do not know the character of our God, then it's difficult for us to trust him with our lives. I think about what one pastor said, responding to a question, why do we not trust the Lord? Or why do so many Christians not trust the Lord? He said, one reason is that we don't know him well enough to trust him. To know God is to love God. When you begin to know the Lord and you grow in that relationship, you begin to love the Lord. You begin to love the character of God and what he's done for you. It says to know God is to love God. Then to love him is to trust him. To trust him then is to obey him. And to obey him then is to be blessed. Imagine with me this afternoon if I went to the gas station over here at the Ralph's Plaza and I was pumping the gas and as I was pumping the gas, here comes a gentleman, and I've never met him before. He's a complete stranger. And he comes up to me and he says, excuse me, sir, can you do something for me? My first response or question to that would be, what is it? What do you want? What can I do for you? Imagine he responded to that question and he said, don't worry about what it is. Just trust me. My response to that would be, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't know you. We don't have a relationship. There's no way that I can trust you. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do. Nice to meet you, but see you later. I can't help you with that favor. But imagine I get home and my wife comes to me and my wife says, honey, can you do something for me? My first response to my wife, once again, is, what is it? What do you want me to do for you? And let's say my wife responds and she says, oh, don't worry about it, honey. Just trust me. My immediate response to that is, no, I'm not going to. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't respond. But my immediate response to that would be, sure, fine. What is it? Right? She says, trust me. Okay, I'll do it. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I'll do it. Why? Because there's a relationship with my wife. I know that she loves me. I know that she has the best for me in her mind. I know she wouldn't ask me to do anything that would hurt me or to embarrass me or to cause me to sin. And therefore, there's a relationship, and that relationship builds trust. That trust builds love. And when you love somebody, you're willing to obey whatever it is they desire for you to do. And the reason why we do not obey the Lord is because we do not trust the Lord. And the reason why we don't trust the Lord is because when it boils down to it, we really don't know the Lord. We might know him as our Savior, but we don't know him as our personal Heavenly Father who loves me, who guides me, who wants the best for my life, who is perfect in all of his ways, and we are able to trust him with anything he desires for us to do within our lives. And when we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's character, then automatically there's a desire to trust and obey the Lord who loves us. I read a story of a group of botanists that noticed through binoculars a flower of rarity and beauty that was laying deep in a ravine. A curious young boy was watching nearby, and the scientists told him they would pay him well if he would agree to be lowered over that cliff and retrieve the flower below. The boy took one long look down that cliff and then said, I'll be back in a minute. And a short time later, he returned to those scientists followed by a gray-haired man. And approaching the botanist, the boy said, I'll go over that cliff and get that flower for you if this man here holds the rope. This man is my dad. And you see, when there's a relationship, a love relationship, there's a trust. And when there's trust, there's obedience. And so first of all, we must depend on the Lord. And to do that, we must trust in His character. Secondly, we must trust in Him completely. We must trust in Him completely. In Proverbs 3:5, it continues there, with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord. Depend upon the Lord with all of thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understandings. Oftentimes, we cannot comprehend what God is doing in our lives. Oftentimes, His commandments and precepts might not make sense to our own understanding. Nevertheless, we must not lean and depend upon our own logic and our own understanding, but we must trust in the wisdom of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It says there that the greatest minds that ever lived on this earth, if we brought them all together and combined them, all of those great minds cannot even hold a candle to the sagacity and the wisdom of God. It says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts," the Lord speaking here, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And you see, sometimes our hearts and our minds will lead us in a certain direction or a certain decision, but the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God directs us in another way. And when that happens, when that confrontation and conflict happens, we must not lean on our own understanding. We must not lean on our own wisdom. We must not lean on our own logic, but we must completely trust in the Lord. I think about a character in the New Testament that amazes me every single time I read about him concerning his absolute, complete trust in the Lord. And he's one of the characters that is most neglected when it comes to the Christmas season, and it's the character of Joseph that we find in the Bible. Think about it. When Mary was with child, right, when Mary was pregnant with child, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, Joseph would have immediately assumed that she was unfaithful, for that was the only logical explanation. Right, think about it. He would understand there's absolutely no way that Mary could have a child or be pregnant without being intimate with a man. And then he knew for certain that he himself was never intimate with Mary, and therefore there was only one logical conclusion: Mary must have been unfaithful during this betrothal period. And so that must have been what he assumed in his mind, for the Bible says in Matthew 1:20, but while he thought on these things, and these things are explained in verse number 19, and the things that Joseph was thinking about in the previous verse is that he was thinking of putting her away privily, meaning that he was planning to get a writing of divorcement and put her away because she was unfaithful to him during that betrothal period. But as he was thinking, the Bible continues, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And despite all of his own understanding, he trusted in the Word of God completely, and he took Mary to be his wife. And you see here this morning, sometimes it doesn't make sense in our minds. Sometimes our gut feeling is leading us otherwise. Nevertheless, we must always trust in the Lord. It didn't make sense to challenge the most powerful nation of his day and demand the release of God's people, but Moses still trusted in the Lord. It didn't make sense for a ruddy little boy to go up against a veteran soldier, a giant in stature, but David trusted God anyways. It didn't make sense to walk around a fortified city 13 times and then yell at the top of their lungs, but Joshua trusted God anyways. It didn't make sense to dwindle down an army from 32,000, then to 10,000, and then all the way down to 300 and fight against the Midianites, but Gideon trusted God anyways. And it might not make sense to obey the commandments of God. It might not make sense to do what God is leading you to do, but let me encourage you and implore you and beseech you here this morning, trust God anyways. Do not lean on your own understandings, but wholly lean on the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must trust the Lord. And as we trust the Lord, we cannot have one foot in our own understanding and one foot in God, but we must wholly lean on the wisdom of God. I think about what one author wrote. He said, partial trust is not trust at all. Either God is trustworthy or he is not. If he cannot be trusted with all, he cannot be trusted at all. And I wonder here this morning, are you trusting in the Lord? Are you depending upon the Lord? Are you trusting in the character of God? Are you spending time to know him? Are you spending time to become intimate in your knowledge and understanding of the character of the Lord? Are you trusting in his character? And then are you trusting in him completely within your life? We must first depend on the Lord. But then secondly, notice with me as we look at verse number 6, we must then defer to the Lord. We must defer to the Lord. It says in verse number 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. This verse isn't simply speaking about recognizing the presence of God, right? It's not just simply giving a nod and recognizing the presence of God, like maybe some athletes might do after they score a point, they point a finger, right? Or maybe some people, they get a bumper sticker and they place it on their car. Now, nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with recognizing the Lord that way, but it goes much further than that. What it speaks about here is regarding and considering the Lord in all things. It is to manage all of our affairs so as to please and glorify him by deferring to his desires and his preferences for our lives. It speaks about a spirit of deference. It speaks about giving the Lord first place, that he would be the Lord of your life. And it speaks about in every single decision that we make and in every single aspect of our lives, we are deferring and considering and regarding the Lord and submitting to his counsel and submitting to his leadership. I think about sometimes we have several guests that would come and they would stay at our house. And when we get to host these different families, we don't simply recognize their presence, just kind of say hello in the morning and then go about our business. But everything that we do during the time that they're with us, we defer to their preferences and to their desires. We defer to their desires concerning their entertainment or what they like to do. If they have little ones and they enjoy animals, then we like to take them to the zoo. If they maybe enjoy art, we like to take them to the museum. We defer to them concerning their entertainment and their likes. We defer to them concerning their meals, right? We ask them concerning their allergies. What do you enjoy eating? What do you not like? Do you like seafood or not? You don't, all right? We'll avoid the sushi restaurant. And we're deferring to them concerning their preferences. We're deferring to their preferences when it comes to their schedule. We're deferring to their preferences and their desires when it comes to even the room temperature. And we set our thermostat at what is comfortable for them and not necessarily what is comfortable for our own family. And we're constantly seeking to do that which is desirable and pleasing to them. And similarly, but so much greater, when we acknowledge the Lord, it means to constantly seek to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, to seek his will and to seek his counsel and to seek his glory and to make him the Lord of our lives. And not just in some areas, but in every single aspect of our life. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all things. We are deferring to the Lord in every single area. It might be the important areas, the urgent areas, but also the mundane areas, the daily decisions that we make within our lives. We are deferring to the Lord. During our work time, we are acknowledging and regarding the Lord. During our leisure time, when we sit down in front of the TV, we are deferring to the Lord. When we scroll through social media, when we spend time with friends, whatever it might be, we are deferring to the Lord. Lord, does this please you? Is this your desire? Is this your will? Is this something that's going to glorify and magnify the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One person wrote, take one step at a time, every step under divine warrant and direction, every plan for yourself in simple dependence on God. It is nothing less than self-idolatry to conceive that we can carry on even the ordinary matters of the day without his counsel. Now, I wonder how often do we stop or pause in the day just for a few seconds and seek the Lord. Lord, is this how you want me to spend my finances? Lord, is this the appointment that you want me to schedule? Lord, what is it that you want me to do when I get home tonight? What's your desire for me and my family? Lord, what's going to please you? What's going to glorify you in the decisions that I make within my life? In Psalms 25, verse 4, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And David writes here that he waited on the Lord all the day, meaning he was constantly at all times dependent and reliant upon God for his counsel and his guidance. And so we find here in Proverbs chapter number 3, the Bible teaches us, first of all, that we must depend on the Lord, right? We must trust in the character of who God is, and then we must trust in him completely with all of our hearts. And then it speaks about we must defer to the Lord in all thy ways, everything, every area, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge, regard, and consider the glory and the counsel of God. And then finally, we find the promise here. Once we depend on the Lord and we defer to the Lord, then the Bible teaches us we will receive the directions from the Lord. We find here the directions from the Lord. And it says there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, right at the end, and he shall direct thy paths. That word direct there is a Hebrew word. It's the word yashar. And it means literally to make straight or to make even. This word implies that God will lead and guide us in the right path. And as he does, God will also clear and straighten the path that we take. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3, the Bible speaks about that word once again. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, speaking about John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight, and that's that word, yashar, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And so the Bible speaking about here, the pathway, make straight the way, prepare the way of the Lord. And then we find the illustration there, every valley will be filled. Every mountain will be made low. Everything that's going to be an obstacle, that's going to be removed so that there might be a safe passage, a direction that God speaks about here in Proverbs 3 and also in Isaiah 40. You see, back in ancient Israel, when kings would travel to different places, they would travel over these pathways, and these roads were rough at best and dangerous at worst. And so as these kings would travel from place to place, they would have several men, several servants that would go ahead of them, ahead of that caravan, and they would smooth out that road. They would find the rough places and they would even it out. They would see some of the obstacles or maybe some of the loose rocks and stones, and they would remove that from the pathway. They would fill the holes, they would clear out the rocks, and they would make his path straight. They would plan out the best route. They would make the road even. They would make his path safe. And you see here, that's what God promises to do for us. God's promising us here in Proverbs chapter number 3, if you would trust in the Lord, depend upon him, and then every single day and everything that you do, you would acknowledge him, and you would remember the presence of the Lord, and you would remember his glory and his desire and counsel. If you live that way every day, then he says, I will direct thy path. I will guide you. I will lead you in the right way. But at the same time, I'm going to clear that path for you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to remove the things that might be hurtful to you. And I'm going to create a pathway that is safe that you might travel through. And God is willing and God is able to do that according to the scriptures if we would trust in him and if we would defer to him in everything within our lives. I think about Exodus chapter number 13, verse 17. The Israelites were coming out from their captivity in Egypt. And the Bible speaks about the guidance of God for the Israelites. And it says there in verse number 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. It continues in verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he has straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And we find there in Exodus that God guided the Israelites not through the shortest route. And sometimes that's our desire, right? God, this is the shortest route that I see. This is the shortest route to exiting my trials. And that's what I desire, Lord. But the Lord is looking for the safest route. The Lord is looking for the route where his will be done, where he will be most glorified, and where we will grow through that trial and even the difficulties that we might face through that season of life. And so God is looking for the best path, not the shortest route, but the safest route. And that's how he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And we find here he guided them through a pillar of a cloud by day and then also by a pillar of fire by night. And God likewise will lead you and I this morning, not by a pillar of cloud, right? He's not going to bring a fire in front of you. And sometimes there's some Christians that go out there and say, Lord, what's your direction in my life? Would you help me to see a shooting star? And that affirms your direction. And God's not going to work that way. And so don't stand outside looking up in the sky every single night, all right? But God's going to guide us through his word. And God's going to guide us through prayer, and God's going to guide us through godly counsel, and God's going to guide us through his providence, and God's given us his will, his revelation in this book, and this is the source of how God will lead and guide us within our lives. And God promises to do that when we trust in him, and we defer to him, we acknowledge him in all things. God says, I will supernaturally direct and guide thy path. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And as we daily depend upon the Lord, and as we daily defer to the Lord in all things, God will begin to guide our path. He won't reveal everything at once, but he'll begin to lead us one step at a time. And in hindsight, we will be able to see the providential guidance of God. A lot of us, when it comes to directions, we want a roadmap. And that's where we make the mistake. We say, God, give me a roadmap. Show me the end. Show me 20 steps from now. And God says, the direction from God is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. And when you're walking with the Lord, you can never go in the wrong direction. And that's what God is teaching us. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. Obey him. Love him. And then acknowledge him in all things. Recognize the Lord in everything, his glory, his counsel, his will. And when you live with that mindset and heart, then God says, step by step, I will lead you. I'm not going to show you the 20th step from now, but I'll show you the next step. And then when you get there and you still trust me and you still acknowledge me in all things, he says, I will then show you the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. And as you continue to walk with the Lord, one day you'll look back and you'll realize, wow, God protected me from that over there. Wow, God kept me from making the wrong decision here. Wow, God led me to the right spouse, and God led me to the right church, and God led me to the right job. And wow, look at how God worked in my life. And in hindsight, we'll begin to see the providential hand of God, that he guided us step by step as daily we trusted in the Lord and acknowledged him in all things. The Bible says in Proverbs 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There's a lot of young people, as I was a youth pastor, a lot of young people come to me and ask me, Brother Paul, what is the will of God for my life? I would always respond the same way. I don't know. I'm not God. Right? How can I know the will of God for your life? You're putting a question on me that there's no way that I could answer. But I do know the will of God for your life today. I do know what God wants you to do today. Trust in him with all your heart. Acknowledge him in everything that you do. And guess what? God will lead you step by step in the will of God. And in hindsight, you'll recognize the providential hand of God. And oftentimes, that's our flaw or mistake. We're saying, God, show me the way. Give me a GPS. Give me a roadmap. Show me the end of all of this. And God says, no, I'm not going to show you the roadmap. I want you to build your relationship with me. And when you do, I'll show you the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. And you'll realize the providential guidance of God within your life.